Thank you so very much. Appreciate that song. Luke chapter 10 in your Bibles tonight. The book of Luke in chapter number 10. How many are glad to be in God's house tonight? Would you say amen? Let me try that again. How many are glad to be in God's house tonight? Would you say amen?
Amen. I don't want the rain to damper your spirit for God, right?
That's right.
And I appreciate you being here on a rainy night.
Night and man, we were listening to North Carolina game on the way home on the radio, and I was having a hissy fit. I mean, I was just, they're up 15, and then I got home and I turned it on, and then they lost. I thought I should have just kept listening to it on the radio, but I started watching it and went downhill from that time. But I came back through, I think, the great deluge tonight to get here, and staying tonight over and looking forward to being in chapel tomorrow and being here tomorrow night. And appreciate you being here. So good to see each one of you on Tuesday night. Thank you for your faithfulness, especially with all the rain, and appreciate you. And that's what we should do as God's people, is just be faithful to God's house. And I appreciate you being here. And thank you again, Pastor, for the opportunity to preach. Thank you for those. I think I'm up to 4 dozen donuts right now. And so that's good. We'll see how many of those make it home to the family. But thank you so much for that. I'm so glad to have my friend with me tonight, and he actually is in this area, but this is Jared Green. I hope you'll introduce yourself to him. He lives here in, I guess, the Concord area, but when I got to our church there in Lenore, Temple Baptist Church, I guess Jared was probably about 12 years old or so, and so he went through our youth group. His dad, I was hoping his dad would be able to make it tonight. His dad's a deacon in our church, and he's just one of the best Christian men I've ever met in my life. Soul winner, loves God, wonderful spirit, and he couldn't make it from work from up where he was our way, but this is his son, and so I saw him grow up, and he's down this way now, and I appreciate him. Jared, I just want to say I love you, and love your family. They are precious people to me, and I'm glad that he came over tonight. Good to see each and every one of you. I'm excited about what God has for us tonight, so let's stand, if you are physically able, Luke chapter number 10. And we'll begin there in verse number 38, Luke chapter number 10 and verse 38. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her," this is one of those stories you wish you could be a fly on the wall, don't you? I don't know what kind of voice inflection. I have to feel like he said, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken from her." And I want to draw your attention to verse 42, that phrase, "Mary hath chosen that good part." I've circled those three words in my Bible, that good part. I want to preach on that tonight, that good part.
Amen.
The good part. And let's see what God has to say to us. Father, we do love you. Thank you so much that we can be in church on a Tuesday night. Lord, I think about people all around the world who have never been able to be in a church at all, especially a church like this that's preaching the truth. I think of those, Lord, that don't know Christ as Savior. I think of those who were taught that Allah is God and Muhammad is the way to God or some other false doctrine. Thank you so much that you have allowed us to have a Bible, to live in America, to be free. Thank you that we have the desire to be in God's house tonight. And now, Lord, I want to be a blessing to God's people. I pray that you'd fill me with the Holy Spirit of God. If there's anyone not saved, I pray that soul would get saved. And for those of us who are saved, I pray we would learn from this text tonight. And we pray we would choose that good part. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Well, how many of you are the oldest sibling in your family? Would you raise your hand? I want to see who all the smartest people in the church are. Because I am the oldest in my family. I'm the oldest of 5. And the oldest are the best ones in the family, right? He said, they which love thy law and nothing shall fail. We preached on that last night, right? Man, I was the oldest of five. I told you already, it's Joel Dwight, and then Jonathan David, and James Daniel, and then my sisters. And my brothers, we all had bikes, and I took advantage of my brothers. I told them they had to have the oil changed on their bikes. And so we were probably about 8, 6, and 4, something like that. So they came to Joel's oil change place, and I would charge them money to change the oil on their bikes. I get the skateboard and slide in under that bike, you know, and change the oil. And then my best friend and I, we opened up a zoo. And the zoo was just our pet dog. And we found a turtle. And we put some stuffed animals there. We found a dead bird, I think. And we put those out. We charged them money for the pet zoo. And I mean, just took advantage of my brothers until my dad found out about it. And he closed my oil change business. And he shut down the Bixler Zoo. Can you believe that? I read an article which described the oldest child as typically responsible, confident. They are more likely to mirror their parents' beliefs and attitudes. And they often choose to spend more time with adults. Because they are more likely to have authority over younger siblings, they tend to be bossy and want things done their way. Man, that's a shouting an amen over there. Oldest children can be perfectionists and worriers, and they put undue pressure on themselves to succeed. Man, I read that article and I thought, good night, that sounds just like me. Oldest child many times is more serious and particular. Sometimes can battle OCD or, you know, just wanting things done a certain way. Preacher, why do you say all those things? Because Martha has all the characteristics of an oldest child, doesn't she? I mean, she is bossy. In fact, she even bossed Jesus. And she bosses her sister around. And I mean, just very rules oriented. And she just very particular, has all those traits of the oldest in the family. I think you're probably familiar with the story, very familiar story. But the Bible says there in verse 38 that the Lord enters into this certain village. We know it to be as Bethany. And he enters into a home. And I love the end of verse 38. Would you underline this in your Bible? A certain woman named Martha, and here's the phrase, received him into her house. She received or she welcomed the Lord into her house. Don't you think all of us should welcome the Lord Jesus Christ into our house? Yeah. Let me ask you a personal question. Not my message, it's just free. Is the Lord welcome in your house?
Amen.
Maybe I ask it this way. Would the Lord feel comfortable in your house?
Amen.
How much would you have to hide if Jesus showed up at your house tonight? Right? I mean, Martha, she received him. The idea, the etymology of the word is she welcomed into the house. And Lord, come into our house. I have nothing to hide. We welcome into our house. And I wonder tonight, again, it's not my message, but if the Lord came into our house, would we have to hide a beer can? Or would we have to hide a DVD? Or would we have to hide something else in our house? I'm just saying, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit lives in you.
Amen.
You better be careful what you welcome or receive into your house.
Amen.
I love that. She received, she welcomed the Lord into her house. And boy, what a time they had. We believe that Martha lived in that house with Mary, her sister. And remember, Lazarus was their brother. He's the same Lazarus that would die and Jesus would raise him back to life. And again, we believe Martha was the oldest. And I was teasing a minute ago saying, we believe she's the oldest because she has all the characteristics of the oldest sibling. But really, the real reason I believe she's the oldest is her name is always mentioned first. It's always Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And so I personally believe she's the oldest in the family. And we know that this house was a very special place to Christ. It was a haven, a haven of rest. It was a sweet place that the Lord would find refreshment. Especially the last week of his life, which is later than this passage in our text here this evening. And really, this account teaches us about Martha and Mary and the Master. Now, I'll give you my outline here, and then we'll dive into it. I think we see Martha as the serving one, and we see Mary as the sitting one, And we see the master as the sympathetic one. And I want to look at all three of them here on tonight and preach this subject, choosing that good part. And so would you write this down in the margin of your Bible? Number one, Martha was the serving one. She was the serving one. Again, look at verse number 40. The Bible says, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. I've underlined in my Bible those two words, much serving, and came to him. And we'll get to the rest here in just a minute. She's cumbered about much serving. She's the serving one. She's a classic type A personality. She's very gifted, but she's also driven and very hardworking. And I feel like I've read so many commentators preach on Martha, about Martha in this passage. And I know the Lord rebuked her, but I called it a sympathetic one. I think it was more of an instruction than a rebuke personally. And I think Martha has received a lot of undue criticism, in my opinion. Hey, let's be honest. She loved Jesus and she welcomed him into her house and she served him. And the Bible says, much serving. Can we at least give her credit for that?
Amen.
Now, how many of you ladies would be a little cumbered about if Jesus showed up at your house? I want you to think about being a hostess for the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to commend her for her service. Again, and sometimes pastors can be bad to do this. You know, I'll call Stephanie, hey, a preacher's coming through town. Why don't we have him over for supper? Ah! You know, the dishes are piled up in the sink and there's no food in the refrigerator. The house is not cleaned and, you know, and you're just, I mean, if Jesus was coming to your house, I mean, think about what Martha was going through. I mean, I can imagine Christ is coming over to my house. I want everything to be tidy. And you know how ladies are. She wants everything to be stacked right. And she wants to make the right meal. And I can imagine here she is cooking and she has the meat going. And man, if she was a good Baptist, she'd have some good fried chicken going right there. And had some mashed potatoes going and green beans going. I don't know if they had that in their culture, but let's put it in ours. And had some rolls going. And I can see her cumbered about. She's checking on the meat and she's checking on the potatoes. And she's making sure the buns don't burn. You don't want the buns to burn when Jesus is in your house. And checking on the beans and making sure everything is going well. And again, I know she gets a lot of criticism, but put yourself in her shoes. That's some pressure, isn't it? And I want to commend her for her much serving. The fact that she received Jesus into her house, the fact that she loved him, and the fact that she wanted to honor him by making a meal for him and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, I give her credit for that. Now, in a minute, we're going to look at a couple things with her. But I love that fact that she was cumbered about, but with much serving. Now, here's the bad part of her. Look at verse 40. She came to Jesus and Lord and said, really, she had two false accusations. The first one is this, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve the Lord? Lord, you don't even care. Look at me. I'm checking on the fried chicken. I'm checking on the rolls. I'm checking on the mashed potatoes. I'm checking on the green beans. And sis is only sitting there. Lord, don't you care? That's a false accusation because no one ever cared for me like Jesus. Preacher and I were talking about that tonight. Charles Weigel writing that. No one ever. You can never, ever say that Jesus doesn't love you. And you can never, never say that Jesus doesn't care about you.
That's right. Amen.
Maybe you walked in tonight and said, I don't know if anyone cares about me. My wife has left me, or my husband has left me, or my father has disowned me, or my mother doesn't write to me or talk to me. And no one cares about me. There's one in heaven who loves you and died for you and cares for you. And you can never point your finger at God and say, you don't care about me because he never stops caring for you. I love 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. I'm here tonight to say he cares about you and he cares for you. And Martha got so busy serving that she came to Jesus. You don't even care. That was a pretty foolish thing to say. But it gets worse. Look what else he said in verse 40. Bid her therefore that she help me. Can you imagine bossing Jesus around? It's not, Lord, would you please ask Mary to help me? It's a command.
First of all, Lord, you don't even care. And secondly, tell her to help me out.
Now, some of you that are not the oldest, you would say, that's a classic oldest child personality. Am I right? Thank you. I mean, can you imagine bossing Jesus around? I see Martha as the serving one. Before I move on to my second point, let me just say this. Preacher, I don't know about you. And again, I'll get to a little more with Martha. But I thank God for the Marthas that are in our churches. And sometimes they do get cumbered about, but at least they're doing much service for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think about the labors. Jared's dad, Brother Brian Green, his dad serves as a deacon. Every Tuesday he's out on visitation. And Saturday morning he's out on visitation. And he's in the choir. And he's just anything you need him to do, he can do everything. He's an HVAC guy. But just a servant of Jesus Christ. I thank God for those Marthas. And a local church could not function without the Marthas.
Amen.
And so could I say to you tonight, you Marthas that are in that choir, thank you. And just keep on serving God there. And my brother that's up there in the sound booth, thank you so much. And I always say the sound man, if everything goes right, no one thinks about him. And something squeals, goes wrong, everyone goes and looks at him. Right? And the same way with those who clean. If the church isn't clean, someone says, I can't believe the church isn't cleaned. But if the church is clean, no one recognizes it. I'm just saying tonight, man, that guy that get behind a church bus or a church van and pick people up and take them home, and the guy that serves in the as a deacon and the person that's changing dirty diapers right now down there in the nursery, I'm just saying, I thank God for the Marthas who love Jesus enough to say, you know what, I'll be cumbered about much serving. And so tonight, I probably should ask your pastor if I could do this. But I wonder, how many of you have been serving in some kind of ministry at this church for at least 5 years? Would you raise your hand? All right, how many at least 10 years? Would you raise your hand? You've been in some kind of ministry, choir, singing, visiting, whatever. How many for 20 years? Would you raise your hand? Anyone for 30 years? I mean, that's just unbelievable. And I want to say thank you, Marthas, for your much service to Jesus Christ. Let's move on to Mary. Martha's the serving one. Mary's the sitting one. Look at verse 39, please. The Bible says, and she had a sister called Mary, which also, and I love this phrase, would you underline it? Sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So here's Martha, checking on the fried chicken, probably fish instead, checking on the mashed potatoes, checking on the green beans, checking on the bread, and saying, Jesus, you don't even care, because look at sis, she's just sitting at your feet, and she won't help me out. But it's amazing, she sat at his feet and heard his word. You know what I find interesting about Mary is you find her three different places in the Word of God. In all three places you find her, she's always at the feet of Jesus. That's a good place for all of us to be. Can you say amen right there? I mean, when John 11:32, when Lazarus died, Mary ran up to him and she fell at his feet. Could I say to you, when your loved one dies, that's not the time to get bitter at God. That's the time to fall at his feet and sit at his feet.
Right.
We find her in John 12 and verse 3 at the feet of Jesus, anointing his feet with the precious ointment. And we find her here in our text, and she's sitting at his feet and she's listening to his word. By the way, can you imagine hearing Jesus teach the word of God?
Amen.
I mean, you're stuck with this guy tonight, but can you imagine if Jesus was in your house? Wouldn't you love to sit at his feet and just hear his word? I just wish I could be a fly on the wall for this story. I wonder what he was teaching her. Maybe he's teaching her about Abraham and Isaac on Mount Moriah, teaching some other great Old Testament truth. Maybe he was just teaching her about the Ten Commandments. I don't know, but I can hear him teaching her, and she's just soaking it in. And by the way, a pastor loves to preach to people that sit there and say, give it to me, preacher. Lay it on me, preacher. And they just sit there and they soak it in. That's Mary. She's the sitting one, sitting at the feet of Jesus.
I think that she had to pinch herself and say, I cannot believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God and God the Son, God incarnate, God robed in human flesh, is in my house. And I am hearing him. Wow. I mean, imagine what was going through her mind. You have to know the manners and customs of those days. Women were not allowed to sit in the presence of rabbis. When a rabbi would speak, they would have to stand in the back, or sometimes they'd have to stand even outside, in my understanding of that culture. And so, here is not just a rabbi. No, no, no. This is the Messiah. This is the Master. This is Jesus Christ. And she doesn't have to sit out or stand outside of the house to hear him. She is in his presence. She is sitting at his feet, and he's teaching the Word of God. And she heard the Word. She's just soaking it all in. Amen. By the way, that's where all of us should be every day of our life. Amen. To piggyback off of last night, let me ask you a personal question. This morning, did you sit at the feet of Jesus?
Amen.
I mean, where you're in the Word of God, you say, well, I can't sit at the feet of Jesus. He's on the right hand of the throne of God. I understand that, but I also understand this, that we have the inerrant, infallible, preserved Word of God, and God wants to speak to us every single day through His Word. And this morning, early on, I woke up, even though I was down because North Carolina lost, when I got in this book and I sat at the feet of Jesus, oh, the peace and the rest and the consolation that came to my soul. I'm just saying, there's no place better to be than every morning of your life to open up the Word of God and allow God to speak to your heart and to sit at the feet of Jesus. I want to ask you, have you been at the feet of Jesus? We get so busy doing all, even good things, that we miss the good part. The main thing. And technology, I know that was supposed to help us to be able to get things done, but would you agree with me? Many times technology actually backfires and keeps us from doing things that we ought to do, like reading our Bible and sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, I'm just saying, if we're not careful, we can become like Martha and get so cumbered about checking on this, 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 and this, and we fail to miss the part of sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. And I have found this, that there is great, great peace and rest. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. Amen. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. So number one, we see the serving one. Number two, we see the sitting one. Martha was the serving one. Mary was the sitting one. Number three, would you write this down? The Master was the sympathetic one. Look at verse 41, please. Jesus, after Martha accused him of not caring and bossed him around, Jesus could have really chided her. But I believe he said it this way. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Let me just stop there right now. Boy, when the Bible says a name twice, there's a significance, isn't there? Martha, Martha, thou art careful. I always get the definition of careful by switching around and saying full of care. She was serving, and I'm going somewhere, so stay with me. She was serving, doing this, 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 and this. And she was full of anxiety and full of care. And he goes on to say, and troubled about many things. The idea is there's agitated. So she's anxious and she's agitated. She's serving, but her serving is actually making her anxious and filled with anxiety. Why? Because she's not at the feet of Jesus. Preacher, I just happen to believe that so many of our psychological and anxiety and panic issues we have today, and I know there are hormonal issues. I know there are biological issues and physiological issues. I understand that. But I still feel like a lot of our psychological problems we have today with people could be solved if they would just sit at the feet of Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
Again, I know I said this last night. I'm not minimizing panic attacks and anxiety attacks and psychological disorders and mental illness. And I've dealt with those things with some of our folks in our church. And those are difficult things. But we talked about this last night, sister, that so many times when people are going through that, they run immediately to get medication. And I'm just saying, I wonder, instead of running to medication, if we ran to the Master and sat at the feet of Jesus and said, you know what? Instead of trying medication, I'm not against all medication. Don't misunderstand me. But instead of running always to the doctor and running to medication, what if once in a while I said, you know, the next 30 days of my life, I'm going to sit at the feet of Jesus. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to memorize the Bible. I'm going to spend time with Jesus. And let's see if Jesus can help me with those things. I'm just saying, we live in Martha's world. We have so many people that are agitated and they're pulling their hair out. They're full of anxiety and they're cumbered. That word cumbered describes our society. I mean, just pulled apart, going all different directions. And the Lord, I think He was sympathetic. Martha, Martha, you don't have to be that way. And then He says in verse 42, one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Shoo, I tell you, when you're the oldest sibling and the youngest sibling is right on something, that just makes you mad. I can see Martha saying, I'll get you back. I'm going to burn the bread. I think Jesus was trying to teach her and listen. And teach churches like ours that get very busy, that as we get busy, we better be careful we don't miss the good part.
That's right. Amen. Amen. That's good.
We better sit at the feet of Jesus. So, here's really my message. Say, preacher, it took you a half hour to get there. I'm going somewhere. I've learned this. That some of the people that serve in local churches like ours the most, if they don't sit at the feet of Jesus, can become some of the most disgruntled church members there are. Yeah. And they're good people. I had you raise your hand. How many have served 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years? Man, hands are going up, and I say praise God for you, and I thank you for Martha's. I'm just saying this, that if your service is without every day being with the Lord and spending time at the feet of Jesus, after a while, this person's going to get on your nerves, and that person's going to get on your nerves, and you're going to look around and say, look at that Mary. She's not doing anything, and I'm doing everything, and Lord, why don't you take care of her? And I'm just saying, sometimes those who serve can become the most agitated people in the church. And so what's the answer? Preacher, does that mean I shouldn't serve anymore? No, no, no. We want you to serve, but the answer is this. If I sit before I serve, then that'll help me to serve the Lord with gladness.
Amen. That's good.
And I met people in four different categories. I met some people that don't sit or serve. That's not good. And I met some people who sit, and man, they soak it up, and they have this great Bible knowledge, and they never serve. That's not good either. And I met some people that serve, but they don't have a quiet time and a devotional life with the Lord, and they get burned out, and they're filled with anxiety, and they're troubled. That's not good either. And then that fourth group is the group I want to be in. That's every day I sit at the feet of Jesus. I read my Bible. I pray. I fall in love with Jesus. I get consumed with the love of God in my heart, and I don't lose the wonder of it all. And because of that worship, now I come out of there, and I'm ready to serve God with my heart.
Amen.
You see the order it has to be. And so Jesus is not saying Martha was doing anything wrong. He just said she's chosen the good part. And by the way, this part can be taken from you. That part can't be taken from you. That's what Jesus said. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think Jesus could have made that Sunday lunch himself?
Absolutely.
I mean, here's Martha. Fried chicken. Mashed potatoes. Tomorrow, bring me. No, I'm just eating. Beans, rolls. Jesus could turn 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes into a pretty good meal. I think he could have taken care of that. But listen, if you study this out, within a year, Jesus was going to die, be buried, and rise again. And Martha would never have another opportunity
to sit there and listen to Jesus Christ. But she would have an opportunity to make another meal. You see why the priority has to be, I first sit at the feet of Jesus. And then the outflow of that is now I serve Jesus Christ. I'll say it this way. My time with Christ must precede my service for Jesus Christ. That's the good part. And that's what the sympathetic Savior was trying to teach them, and I think all of us. Man, I can tell your church is a serving church, and I love that. I've told different ones from our church, they've been saying, preacher, I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you. I said, man, we're having great meetings. I love this church. And they're serving, and they're soul winning, and they have a heart just like I do for things like that. I'm just saying, but we've got to be careful to make sure we first sit at His feet.
Yeah. Amen.
And then everything else flows out of that in our service for Christ. And that's really revival.
Amen.
It's easy to get out of balance in that, isn't it? Do you ever have a vehicle that the tires got out of balance before? And when you're going 15, 20 miles an hour, you don't notice it. But then you get up to 65 and it's like, you're like, oh man, I got some issues. And a lot of times we can function when everything's going right, but boy, when the pressure starts really rising. And we're out of balance before we know it. And we get angry or bitter, upset. And every time I do that, I think to myself, I'm doing a lot of serving, but I need to get back to sitting before I serve because I'm out of balance right there.
Amen.
Someone said it this way, if serving Christ makes you difficult to live with, then something's terribly wrong with your service for Christ. Again, I go back to Jared. I'm glad he's here tonight. But his dad, I keep mentioning him. But if Brother Green came in here tonight, I mean, he has a smile that just lights up this room. And he is literally the busiest man I think I've ever met in my life. Everyone calls him and he can't say no to anyone. Am I right? But he does all of his service like this. I mean, he just smiles from ear to ear. You say, well, that's just because he's got a smile. No. We've had those talks. He has burdens just like all the rest of us have. He has a son that's broken his heart like many of the rest of us have. But I know this, every morning of his life, he spends time at the feet of Jesus. And when you're sitting, precedes your serving. Then you serve with joy and gladness. And I want to ask you a question. I know you're a serving church. Praise God for that. But are you serving with joy and gladness, or has it become agitation and frustration? Because that's not the way the Lord wants us to serve. Charles Spurgeon, of course, is so quotable. And he said this. The way to experience revival is to begin at the Master's feet. You must go there with Mary, and afterwards, then you can work with Martha with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's what I'm trying to say. If you first sit at the feet of Jesus every day, read His Word, pray, spend time with Him like Mary, man, then you come out of there with a bubbling joy in your heart. You say, I want to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so I'd like to ask you a few questions here tonight. Number one, are you like Martha? Yes, preacher, I'm the oldest in the family. No, I'm not talking about that way. Are you cumbered about much serving? Are you filled with anxiety and agitation? Or are you serving the Lord with gladness? Number two, my second question is this, are you like Mary? Are you sitting at the feet of Jesus? The idea there sat at Jesus' feet and heard His Word is a continual linear action, meaning she just kept sitting there and listening. Every day do you sit at His feet and do you listen to the Word of God and do you listen to the Holy Spirit of God? That's the sitting person. And I think when that happens, then there's this joy that comes out of you. And it's not drudgery serving the Lord. It's a desire to serve the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
A third question is this. So have you chosen the good part? The good part. I mentioned earlier, I guess Sunday night, that my dad and my mom, they have five kids. And it doesn't always work out this way, but in our case, I'm pastoring here in North Carolina, and my brother Jonathan pastors in Mount Joy, Pennsylvania. My brother James is assistant pastor for my dad. My sister Sheila is married to a preacher. They started a church. And my sister Sonia is married to a preacher, and they pastor, all of us pastor independent Baptist churches. And so many people have asked me through the years, what did your dad and mom do for all five kids to be in the ministry? And here's always my answer. First of all, God called us.
Amen.
But secondly, I watched my dad and mom serve the Lord with such joy and gladness that all five of us kids said, you know what? I like to do what they're doing. But it really went one step further than that. Because every morning of their life, I go downstairs and my dad would be in his word. My mom would be in the book. And their sitting preceded their serving. Therefore, they served with joy and gladness. And it just rubbed off on the rest of us. They chose the good part. And tonight, I'm going to do a little different invitation here in just a minute. But I pray, may God help us all to choose the good part. Would you bow your